Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you to my show tonight. Say what? What is that woman saying? Well, tonight I'm going to be sharing with you again, going ahead from last week's show when I shared with you the experience that I had when I was 8 years old of receiving the activation of the Holy Spirit within my being and having it be expressed outwardly by the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I talked about how this power within me has been the foundation for my entire life. For 71 years now, I have known, certainly not in the fullness of the truth of it, but in part and in actual experience, that I am a sovereign, sentient being with all power of heaven and earth inside of me. And I think that I said of myself as I think myself as being a manifested Son of God. God and me. God as me. And at the end of that program, I helped you have this experience for yourself. And again, at the end of this broadcast, I am also going to give you an opportunity to enter into this experience, so that you will have that validation of your sovereignty and to feel your worthiness to be called a son of God and to be able to be manifested to the people who are groaning and travailing here on earth for help. We will find all of our answers from this source of all wisdom and power and knowledge that is inside of us. And we will begin to operate from our own personal truth within us. God and me, God and you. God as me, God as you. Now, this past week, I was a guest on another talk show on Blog Talk Radio called The Long Conversation. And the host was Chris Hales, who does a number of different shows in the Spirituality Network on Blog Talk Radio. And at the end of the interview, he asked me, if you were to say, I am, and then follow that with how you see yourself today, what would you say? So I said, well, you know, people ask me if I go to church or, since I am an ordained minister, they'll say, well, where is your church? Do you have a church? And so this is what I say. I am the church. Because we all are members of God's church. I don't need to go to church because I am the church in manifestation, wherever I am or whoever I am with. We are having church together. Now, church is the fellowship of the ecclesia, and we are the ecclesia, which in the Greek means an assembly of citizens. So anytime there is an assembly of two or more, we are having church. And as a manifested Son of God, for me now, it would be like Jesus having lunch with Peter, or Jesus having lunch with John. That might sound a little egotistical to you, but I say it in the same way that Jesus said it, which is recorded that he thought it was not robbery to be compared equal with God. And if I am with another manifested Son of God, I am Marcy Ann. And later in this broadcast, I'm going to be having church with Michael Monk, the Avatar teacher at the Avatar Energy Institute. Now, when Michael and I assemble, we speak in creative words of spirit, enlightening and encouraging those who have the ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the people. And we don't have to do anything in Jesus' name because our own name is now full of the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. Or another way to say that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, I operate my own kingdom. I operate it in the name of Marcy Ann. It's the name of my website. It's the power of my business. And Michael operates in his kingdom, which is his avatar energy school. And when we assemble in honor, preferring the other, in the true submission, one to another, as each person being a representative of God and having their own unique and individual truth. So in all interactions between the sons of God, there is the student and the teacher. Each one is the student, and each one is the teacher. And we respect and honor and prefer one another. So we'll be having that conversation a little later on. Now, the offices of the church, according to the sacred scriptures, are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And since I am the church, I operate in all of these offices at different times, according to the circumstances, whenever I am in assembly with another person or persons. So if you wanted to look at it in one way, you could say that we are all members of God's church. So I'm going to discuss these various offices that operate in the church. And you can see which one sounds like something you would like to do. And so then as a son of God beginning to manifest, you would know that you truly are sending out your energy, not only to create your circumstances for yourself, but also for others. And everything will be in everyone's highest and best good. So, listen to these job descriptions. A lot of people are looking for jobs today. So here are the jobs that are available as a member of God's church. And when you start to operate in your job for God, you will also discover that there is a money stream connected to it. And as you fulfill your spiritual purpose, you will begin to find abundance in your pocketbook. So first of all, what is an apostle? The job of an apostle. Well, the early disciples of Jesus were eventually called the apostles. And because after Jesus ascended, these men were responsible for helping to get the new church started. It was a changeover from these Jewish men, and they had to help integrate the teachings of Jesus into the doctrines and the rituals and the practices. Now, Jesus knew he was going to go to the cross and that he would resurrect himself, and then he would be leaving and going back to running the universe. So he said, I'm going to go away, but when I get back home, I'm going to send the activation of the Holy Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. That's truth with a capital T. You know, Jesus had shared a lot of the truth with them, but he knew that it was just a tiny bit of all of the truth. And so the Holy Spirit was going to lead and guide them into all truth. And each person would receive a personal activation of the Holy Spirit in order to be able to receive their own personal truth. See, each of us has our own personal truth that is just for us. I say in my wedding ceremony to my bride and groom, you know, the little things are always going to be the big things, and you know what those little things are that are individual and just for the two of you. Because we are unique individuals. There's no one else like us. Never has been, never will be. And what we will need to know to be manifested as a son of God will be the truth, capital T, that is just for us. You know, that this is why it's such a travesty for us to be herded into one stall together with everybody else and all become a robotic expression of life here on earth. But with the activation of the Holy Spirit in our life, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we can then begin to become aware of our own individual, authentic self and to be able to express. I listen to a lot of the shows on Blog Talk Radio in the area of spirituality, and many of these teachers talk about the higher self. They'll say things like, just submit yourself to your higher self. You know, like it's two different things, you and your higher self. So perhaps I would clarify things for you to know that your higher self is the real you, your authentic self, and you can know that you are operating out of your higher self when you have this evidence of speaking in tongues, because this evidence proves to you that you are connected to God, that God lives within you in all the fullness of the power, knowledge, and wisdom, and you can choose to allow the Holy Spirit to provide the path for you moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week. You can choose to allow the Holy Spirit to provide you with a solution to any problem, heal any disease, allow your authentic self to express in ways to provide income for you, for your material needs, to provide fellowship and a love partner if you desire one. And the higher authentic self, that part of you that is one with God, becomes your source for everything. You no longer will need to look outside of yourself for anything. You are connected to source energy. All power in heaven and earth is yours to command. And later on, Avatar Michael is going to share some of those ways that power manifests in our lives. Now, the job of apostle. The apostle helps to get things started. The apostles are the innovators of the universe. They know how to work with the energy grids to open portals to energize actions here on earth. And apostles give their energy to something at the beginning, and they stay a while and help others learn how to run things. And then the apostle leaves and turns the operations over to the ones who are supposed to do that particular thing. And I have helped many things get started, and I just wanted to share some examples of this. I had a photographer who worked for me who had some stuff in a storage unit. And so one weekend she went to get some of that stuff out of storage, and the weekend guy was there, and you know, the one that allows you to open your storage unit and get into it. And so the two of them got to talking. And she said she was a photographer and that she photographed weddings. And then he said how he had always wanted to make movies. It was his dream. And she said, well, why don't you start by doing videos of weddings? You can tell the story of the wedding. And he said, well, how in the world would I ever be able to get started doing that? And she said, call Marcy Ann and see if she can help you. So he called me and I said, well, come to my wedding this weekend and film it. Tell the story. Let's see what you can do. Well, he showed up with the tiniest little video camera, just a simple little camera almost that you could probably buy at a drugstore. And I had gotten permission from the bride to have him film her wedding, and I told her that if it came out, she could get a copy of it for free, so she had agreed to do it. Well, about a week later, he sent me the video, and I sat in my living room, and I cried through the whole thing. It was just so beautiful. What he was able to do with that tiny little video camera was awesome. So I called him and I said, "You're hired." And he began videoing weddings for me. He was so thrilled to come and film for 1 hour and make $200. This was the most money he had ever made per hour in his whole life. Sure paid a lot better than that weekend job at the storage place. And today he has a big video wedding business. And he no longer comes and does those little one-hour jobs for me now because he has a big commercial video camera now and other people who work for him. And he is now the number one wedding videographer in our area. He gets $2,000 to $3,000 to do a wedding now. I saw him not too long ago, and I said, "Hey, Doug, remember your original dream was to make a movie. Let's get going on that movie and enter it into the Newport Beach Film Festival next year." And he just waved and said, "Hi, Marcianne." You know, sometimes that dream you have is going to lead you into the perfect thing for you. Now, another time I was standing in line at the grocery store, and there was this tall, skinny, blonde young man standing behind me waiting to check out. And while we waited, we got to talking, and he said he was a teacher of the scriptures, and he felt that God had told him to come to Indianapolis to start a work. And he was from Oklahoma. And then he mentioned that he had had the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the speaking in tongues. Well, I had an immediate recognition in spirit, and I invited him to start his work at my home that coming Friday night. And then I called everyone I knew that I thought might be interested, and I told them to tell everybody that they knew. And we had 20 people show up. I hardly had enough chairs for everyone to sit. But one person who came immediately felt the call to the work, and she then financed a hall for him to have the weekly Bible study so that they could have as many people as wanted to come. He was in Indianapolis 7 years and had a successful spiritual school with many public workshops and teachings. And he's going to be my guest next week on my show because we've stayed in touch all these years. And we have served to be a confirmation of truth for one another, and we will talk about that. Now, I've also trained two girls who used to work for me who now have their own wedding business. And, you know, I listen to these discussions about how we're going to make things work as everybody moves into the higher consciousness. Well, let me just tell you, one thing that you need to know as an apostle is that there is room for everybody. You know, it might seem counterproductive for me to train girls who are then going to work in my own local area doing exactly what I do, but it isn't. And we have developed an environment that is not competitive. We don't see ourselves in competition with one another. We see ourselves as each of us providing our own special services. I call it our niche. We each have our own niche. And we attract certain brides. And each of us gets plenty of business. Because there's more than enough to go around. There's no lack here on this earth. And if a bride calls and asks me for a service that I know that one of these other two girls can do better than I can, then I refer that bride to them. And they do the same for me. As I work exclusively in Laguna Beach, so these girls refer brides to me who want a Laguna Beach wedding. And if a bride wants chairs for her guests, which we can't have in Laguna Beach, then I refer that bride to them. Because we are a community of providers who only want the highest and best good for our bride. And we all make plenty of money. I don't have to try to get every bride. I couldn't do every bride anyway. And we all have all the business that we want. So as an apostle, I have taught these girls the higher principles of commerce and spiritual sharing and caring. And then for 7 years, I worked at a local motel while I was developing my wedding business. I worked 5 days a week and then went to 4 days, then 3 days, then 2 days, then 1 day, and then I finally had to go within myself and acknowledge to myself that I was now able to be totally my own source. And I could give up that, you know, paycheck thing. And so I had the idea while I worked there that we should cross-train everyone so that everybody knew everybody else's job. Because there were 3 shifts a day, 7 days a week, 7 to 3, 3 to 11, and 11 to 7. And so once we were cross-trained, then that meant that any of us could do any shift. So we were allowed to change the shifts around to fit our own personal schedules. You know, usually workers have to rearrange their personal life to fit their work schedule. But when there is cooperation and sharing and caring, and in our case, we were able to change our shifts around, still get our 40 hours a week, and still be able to do any other personal thing we wanted to do. It was just such a fantastic system. So apostles in the ecclesia are the innovators of the community. They provide new ideas. They help to expand ideas that are already in operation, and they encourage and help things get started. So maybe that's a job you'd like to have. Okay, the next office of the church is the prophet. Now, the prophet has the ability to look into the future and to tell the people, if you keep doing what you are doing, then this and this and this is going to happen. But all prophecy is conditional, because we as sovereign sentient beings are creating each and every moment ourself. So when psychics look into the future and tell you something's going to happen, it's only going to happen if you then put the power of your intention into that situation and then steadfastly proceed toward it. And just know this, that if just one person changes their mind about something, it will change the whole dynamic of everything. One person changing their mind sends out a ripple in the energy field, and this ripple stirs the energy fields of everybody else, and a new future is created. So no prophecy has to come to pass. A prophecy is like getting a warning ticket. You don't have to appear in court. You're just warned that if everybody keeps doing the same thing, then such and such is going to happen. You know, we have a lot of people today that keep doing the same thing over and over and over, and they're hoping for a different result. Well, that's not what's going to happen. And the prophet will tell you that. You keep doing what you are doing, you're going to have exactly what you have right now. We have the power to create the future for ourselves. I read a saying recently that said that the definition of tomorrow is a place where 99.9% of the human potential is. You know, that's the truth. But you know what? You can take that 100% of your human potential into today and change tomorrow. You can create whatever you want for tomorrow. So always remember, no prophecy has to come to pass. A prophecy is just a warning. Nothing is set in stone. Everything is in a state of motion, and we are directing the currents of energy. Okay, let's look at the office and the job of evangelist. Evangelist is a person who does very unusual things. They do unusual and strange things to draw people's attention. The Bible says the evangelist, a true evangelist, has the gifts of miracles. So these are our current modern day musicians and artists and magicians. And they've always been the true evangelists of what is going on in the various realms and dimensions beyond the third dimension. They call our attention to the mystical, the mysterious, the absurd, the paradoxical, the inane, the disgusting, the beautiful, and the inspiring. And now that our attention has been averted from our boring and robotic lives, we have a gap, a moment in no time, a chance to look at everything and make a new choice about anything. The hippies of the 60s were the evangelists of that time. They were feeling all the new energies that were beginning to come through the density of our solar system then that has been designed to set us free from all systems of domination and control. And the love message was pretty much expressed in free sex because in the physical body, the power to create is through the sex organs at the root chakra. And the peace message was pretty much expressed with drugs. They drugged themselves to the point where they were peaceful. But it was a true awakening, you know, and that awakening energy then went into the 80s and Deepak Chopra showed up. Now, I believe that Dr. Deepak Chopra is a Melchizedek, just like Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And the Melchizedeks have always been here, and so is Dr. Chopra. And he talks in everyday language for today about the deeper levels of information. So we learned about the quantum level of physics, where without an observer, there is no thing. We are the observer, and our action in observing actually creates. So our power to create was elevated into the soul realms above the waist. And now today we are in the final stage of the awakening. Many people are calling it the ascension. And the energy is now reaching spirit level, the highest level of truth with a capital T. And we are learning that we are authentic, sovereign, sentient beings. And we're now going to be able to operate in authority over all things in our life, over all the cells of our body, so we can live in perfect health, in operate in authority at our job and come up with new innovations and ways to do things spiritually with sharing and caring, to operate in authority in our relationships. And you're going to find that some current relationships are not part of that, but you will have new relationships and be the divine masculine and the divine feminine now is beginning to manifest and will create new relationships of co-creation. And we will be the author and the finisher of our life. What it amounts to is just being alive in heaven on earth now, because we're not going anywhere. I look at this as an opportunity at 79 years old to now walk into my immortal body and stay around to help everyone else know that they are sons of God. Now, the pastor is the person who encourages us and loves us and keeps us on the path where we can be fed and nurtured. Because, you know, it feels really good to get a pat on the back. What I hear so much is just people complaining, speaking about all the things that are wrong. Well, perhaps you can feel the call to become a pastor and start speaking words of praise and appreciation to everybody. Let's start singing that song, What a Wonderful World. I see flown, da-da-da. I don't remember the words, but what a wonderful world. Yesterday morning, I was going out to my car to get something, and one of the workers here in my retirement community was working on something outside here. So I went up to him, and I gave him a pat on the back, and I said, oh, one of my wonderful workers, keeping everything working, fixing everything, making my life here so wonderful. I appreciate you. Thank you for your good job. Well, he just looked up to me with this look on his face of kind of surprise. He says, well, I'm trying to do my best. Well, you know what? That was such a profound thing he said, because Dr. Chopra says that all of us are doing our best according to our state of consciousness. And I say in my wedding ceremony, everybody is trying to do their best, but not everything that we do as a mortal works out the way we wanted. And so love says, I forgive you. I'm going to forget this, and I am never going to talk about it again. You know, this is the job of the pastor. And then the teacher teaches us what we need to know to get to where we want to go. And so I just love the job of teaching the most. So operating in the fullness of your sovereign, authentic self as a sentient being with the power of choice, you become the church in your active everyday life in your local community. And as the church, with the activation of the Holy Spirit, with the speaking evidence of speaking in tongues, then you will have all the gifts of healing and miracles, interpretation of tongues, discernment, words of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, visions, and dreams. Now, a bride called me recently to ask how soon I could do a wedding for her. So I said, well, what's the rush? And she said, I have been told that I have 6 months to live, and my fiancé and I want to at least have that time in marriage. Well, I asked her what was wrong with her, and she said she had an uncontrolled pernicious anemia operating in her blood. And then she told me that her first husband had died 2 years ago. And she said that the two of them were so deeply in love. She said, we were so happy. And if he was still alive, I would be with him. But he was killed in an automobile accident. Well, as she talked, by the power of the Holy Spirit within me, I saw into this whole situation. So, since I operate in the fullness of the Spirit, my first job is to minister, not to make money. So I said to her, worrying about it, I said, you know what? When your husband died, in your grief, you made a contract to want to go be with him. So your body, being just a neutral place where all of your hopes and dreams and desires are brought to pass, said, okay, I'll make it so you can go be with him. And you manifested this life ending disease. Now let me ask you a question. Do you love this man that you're going to marry? And she said, oh yes, I love him very much. And I said, well, would you want to live the rest of your life with him? Or would you rather go be with your first husband? Well, she was quiet for a moment. And then she said, I would like to stay and get married and live the rest of my life with my fiancé. So I said, okay, you need to make a new contract and then tell your body that you do not want to go to be with your first husband anymore. Cancel that contract and begin to tell your body every day, I want to stay, I'm going to marry John, and I want to live the rest of my life out into old age with John. And my dear, that's exactly what you will do. Well, she didn't book her wedding with me. I found out from my network of wedding providers in the area, since I know everybody, that she booked with a girl who can provide an arch and chairs for the guests. So she called me. I gave her a prescription for a new life together with her fiancé, and then she got married under a beautiful arch on the grass overlooking the ocean down in Dana Point. Now, it's going to be up to her being true to herself and to her new contract with her new husband. And as she is true to herself and her new desires, the old desires will end. And her body will restore itself to health. And she will live happily ever after with her new husband. Now, on my show last week, I talked about the corporate power of the Holy Spirit, because I hear a lot of stuff today about the power of corporations here on earth and how they're ripping us off and causing our lives to be controlled for their benefit. Well, how about we learn and talk about a corporate power that operates for the highest and best good of everyone? So let me tell you, when my sister's daughter was born, she had multiple congenital defects. And when she was less than 1 year old, the growth centers in her hips that caused the legs to grow were not operating. And the doctors said they were not there. And they were advising my sister and her husband to have those little legs dangling off of her now almost one-year-old body to be amputated. Well, my sister called home to Mother and she said, Mother, they want to amputate Elizabeth's legs. Have the church pray that the growth centers will appear and her legs will start to grow. So that Sunday, we went to church, and after the singing, my mother marched up to the front of the church, and she addressed the congregation, and she said, we need to pray. And then she said that her granddaughter did not have growth centers in the hips, and we needed to speak the creative words, the wondrous works of God, together in corporate power, and create the growth centers. And the congregation rose to their feet and began to do what we used to call in the old days pounding on the doors of heaven. And we all spoke in tongues and then interpreted the call of spirit for the growth centers to appear and for her legs to begin to grow. Amen. 2 days later, my sister called and she said the doctor took another x-ray and the growth centers had appeared. And the decision to amputate Elizabeth's legs was canceled. And today she can tell you she was on the swimming team at college. She has skied with her friends in the Rocky Mountains. And she carried her daughter for 9 months in her womb without incident, walking around and being active until time for her delivery. She has had a rich and full life with her legs. And another more dramatic expression of this corporate power that I have experienced was at a local Bible study that we had on Wednesdays in Indianapolis in the 1970s. And we were having lots of healings at this Bible study. And after the teaching, there would be a time for anyone who wanted to be prayed for healing, could come forward and have hands laid on them for healing. And the science of laying on of hands is that we as a sentient being can project out the power of the Holy Spirit through our hands. And Michael is going to be talking a little bit more about this in 21st Century Talk in a little while. Well, word had gotten out that miracles were happening at our Bible study. So one night, a man whose legs were paralyzed from a motorcycle accident came to the meeting in his wheelchair. And at the end of the teaching, the invitation was given for anyone who wanted to be healed to come forth and have hands laid on them. And he wheeled himself up to the front. Well, we all gathered around him. We laid our hands on him and were speaking in tongues with interpretation, commanding him to be healed and to rise up and walk. And there began a mighty energy whirling around him like a tornado. And within that energy field, he got up out of his wheelchair and he began walking across the front of the room and back. And we were all rejoicing and singing praises and thanks. It was like he was just surrounded by this light, actually, like he was in a light bubble. And then the energy began to lessen and the light began to diminish. And he became aware that he was standing and walking, and he collapsed to the floor. And a couple people helped him to get back into his wheelchair. And I believed what we witnessed there was the beginnings of this awakening, a demonstration, if you will, of the field of all possibilities, which Dr. Deepak Chopra then talked about later on in the 80s. And what happened in this case was that the truth that he was standing and walking back and forth in the energy of the Spirit was so overwhelming to him that he collapsed. And then it no longer seemed possible to him, and he went back to his wheelchair. But he had a taste of freedom. A seed was planted, and then it would be up to him from then on to desire to re-experience that freedom again and to make it his day-to-day reality, because he had the proof. And we all saw with our own eyes the corporate power of the group to manifest a higher consciousness, even if it was just for a few minutes. And now we are at the time when it's going to be possible for us to maintain this higher consciousness and to live and move and experience life as a fully integrated, sovereign being, living authentically in our own personal truth and manifesting the power of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life, walking in the power of the Spirit. This is the kind of corporate power I'm looking for in this new heaven and new earth that people are talking about today. Last night, you know, the Pope held a public mass for peace. It was held outdoors at St. Peter's Square, and 100,000 people attended. 100,000 people assembled in unity for peace. This is the true corporate power in operation. While Obama calls for a strike, the Pope calls for peace. And this clearly is a moment for each of us to make a choice. This is big, very, very big. And it's a very clear choice for each one of us. What do we want? Peace or war? I joined my energies with those devout Italians for peace. Now, before I call in Michael, I wanted to mention, you know, that last week I had talked about the rocks in the canyon that I drive through to get to the beach every weekend to do my weddings, and how we had had a fire in Laguna Beach about 15 years ago, and the rocks went through that fire totally unscathed, just totally unaffected by this fire that had reached over 5,000 degrees in temperature and destroyed 365 homes. And I said that I had talked with the rocks about the fire and how I had been so amazed about their power to stand. And they answered me back and said, fire is transforming. And then when I listened to my show later on, I could feel some of your concerns about how a fire was transforming for the 365 homes that were burned to the ground. So I wanted to tell you, most of those homes were homes that were built after the war. They were 1,200 to 1,500 square feet, three-bedroom, one-bath, ranch-style homes on a slab. And many of these homes were up on what we call in Laguna Beach the top of the world, because they're way up on the coastal mountain. And if you drove up there after the fire, all you saw was just one slab after another with just a fireplace left. Everything else had been burned. Well, you should take a drive up there today. There's just one huge, fantastic mansion after another. Talk about transformation. Because if these people had kept up their fire insurance according to the current value of their homes over the years, they had millions to rebuild. And now that entire area is filled with these breathtaking, gorgeous, huge mansions. And pictures before and after vividly show the transformation. So before I bring on my special guest, Michael Monk, who runs the Avatar Energy Institute, I want to read a portion from the book, The Keys of Enoch. Now, in the foreword of this book, it says, this is a teaching given on seven levels to be read and visualized in preparation for the Brotherhood of Light to be delivered for the quickening of the people of light. Now, we are the people of the light, and we are beginning to come into the realization that we came from the light, and we are the light. And to be a bright light, a person who has all the answers, entering into our own personal sovereignty by being our own true, authentic self. This book says, reading from page 477, we go through the way of pure sound. And then it continues, in the education of your soul, you can experience pure sound as the highest vibrational resonance, connected with a divine thought form, which recharges your thoughts with dispensations from the treasury of light. Here, the lords of light use the sound that causes divinities and their realms to spread forth in all directions. And it's through the Holy Spirit Shekinah that the Christ over-self opens to other Christed over-selves. And in bringing together your Christ over-self with the Holy Spirit Shekinah, you form a working relationship with the Great Supreme to co-create together. It becomes paramount to speak and share in the ineffable glory and splendor of the Father. And then from pages 388 and 389, it says, the Christ over-self body will be quickened into direct work with the physical body, and mankind will collectively experience the speaking in tongues and the sound of melodious communication when the portals were opened to the vibrations of heaven passing on to the face of the earth. Each sound uttered leads to the seed form, which represents the complex nature of the basic energies of the life forces. This basic sound power is the equivalent of light operating in patterns and duration of pitch. It ties together all of the biorhythms of the body with the spiritual rhythms of the over-self body. And the divine sounds are matter wave functions that combine these sounds with the material elements of the earth so that all systems operate with the one cosmic heartbeat. And now I would like to bring on our special guest, Michael Monk of the Avatar Energy Institute. Michael has had this total experience of the divine sounds of the matter wave functions, combining with the divine sounds with the material elements of the earth so that all circulatory systems operate with the one cosmic heartbeat. And he's going to share that experience with you. And looking at ways at the energy that we now possess and how to access it in more 21st century language. So welcome, Michael.
Hi.
Hi.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you taking time. I know you're on vacation. That's the greatest sacrifice there is.
Well, I
come and share when you're on vacation.
I actually got back a few days ago.
Oh, you're home now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, how was your vacation?
It was nice. It was a break from the norm, and I got to experience Detroit and had some pretty amazing adventures in consciousness, and now I'm
back.
Anything
you want to share?
Well, I worked a lot with the energy of time while I was doing my explorations there. And
the energy of what?
Of time.
Oh, time. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's like we can move through space pretty much effortlessly because we can feel space. You know, we're attached to it with consciousness. And if you're not able to feel something, you're not able to interact with it. Like, if you were to receive a numbing shot on your hand, the moment you can no longer feel your hand is the moment you can no longer use it, right?
Yes.
So that goes in tandem with everything I teach about energy. The first level is expanding your consciousness out into spatial energy, to feeling it as being a part of yourself, you know.
Yeah, you talk about that in lesson two, where you...
Mm-hmm.
Feel the tree, you just don't see it.
Right.
Feel it.
Yeah, we learn through the practices that I teach that the five senses can connect you to the world. Like, they're not just receivers, they're actually transmitters.
Mm.
And when you find that path, then you begin to feel the world for what it really is, which is an extension of your body. And you begin to enter what I call the Christ consciousness, which means literally seeing and feeling yourself in all things, like a unity consciousness. So back to how that plays into time, people aren't able to manipulate time because they can't feel it. And if you can't feel it, then you're not time itself, you're in time. So what I discovered was this deep energy wave that you would call that, which is a very very low vibration. Like, if I were to use types of terms like towards what you were talking, I would say it was the original sound that started like all of creation.
The sound is
extremely deep and powerful. And everything that we're experiencing and calling reality are the overtones from that sound. Like, if you were to use, like, music theory, like the harmonic series of overtones, when you sound a really deep note, like, let's say on a piano, you sound A110, as an overtone to that, you get an octave higher, another A note at A220, and then you have an overtone on top of that that's a fifth higher, and then a third higher, and so on and so forth. So it's actually a really deep and low vibration that creates the higher vibrations that ride on top of it. But anyhow, the energy of time it's like a standing wave, and it goes in and out. And what I found is that as the human consciousness is there facing the backward part of the time wave, where it snaps back. So the universe is happening to us. So everywhere we go, the universe is hitting us in the face because we're experiencing the part of the time wave that's collapsing backwards towards source. What I was doing was accelerating my consciousness to be ahead of the time stream, like upstream from it, to where I would be able to anchor up and become the source of the time. And then whatever I would be thinking or feeling would be instantly reflected in the physical reality.
Mm.
From, I mean, everything, like from birds, crickets, cars, people, airplanes, and you can feel it all like coming out of you and being a perfect reflection of your thoughts. And it's really just amazing and empowering. It also implies a lot of responsibility because all of a sudden you're sourcing your local reality, like, completely. And so
this is where our thoughts need to be purified and
right, because if you want to experience love, you got to be the love. If you're standing in the center point ahead of the time wave, there isn't going to be any love unless you feel it first.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't going to be any peace, any forgiveness, any happiness. There's not going to be nothing unless you source it.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever you're feeling is what the universe manifests, because at that point you become the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, it's complete responsibility and up to the individual.
Well, so in saying that we become the source of all things, I'm saying something a lot bigger here than I realized. Right?
Yeah, and it's not a singular or a unique thing. Like, each one of us can do this as consciousness. And what I'm seeing is that people from, you know, all different areas of the globe will begin to post up in this ahead of the time stream type of consciousness and be the change that they wish to see together, and that it'll just anchor forth and go out of us, and just the rest of the creation will get in line with that, because at that point we are the creation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did a little experiment with time this weekend too. It's interesting that you were. I had a wedding at 3:30 in Laguna, and I told the decorator I would pick her up at 2:45, and then as I got to thinking about it, I thought, that's way too late. We won't have time if I get into traffic or whatever. I thought, we're going to have to get there earlier. So I called her, and I told her I was going to pick her up earlier, and then I set the intention that I would be there at 3 o'clock. And I left my house at 2:30, and it would not have been possible to do that, but I was there at 3 o'clock.
Wow.
So what do you think I did? So did I get ahead of the time?
Yeah. Yep,
I must
definitely
have gotten ahead of the time wave.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, and the more you practice with doing that, the more you can see the evidence all around you. Like, it almost gets ridiculous. Like, I'll get in these extreme accelerated states, I'll start explaining something to my partner, and then I'll just point to the TV, and I'll just be like, see, because the TV is now finishing my thoughts through whatever TV shows, you know, like, coming through. And I mean, like, in perfect tandem, to where you're just like, wow. And this opens up, you know, a whole new set of questions about who and what we are. You know?
Well, we're an electromagnetic energy field that's connected to everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, we don't have any real concept of what that is. But you and your school are expanding this concept. I mean, it's a truth. It really is a truth with a capital T. We are an electromagnetic energy field that is connected to everything. So what does that mean to us in our everyday life? So first of all, tell the name of your school.
It's the Avatar Energy Mastery Institute, and the website is avatarenergymaster.com.
Okay, and I'm doing it to, I've signed up for it so that I can have a review of what I've lived my whole life, but you're further expanding these realms of consciousness beyond, you know, beyond the experience of years and years ago. So, because we're in that time now, and so I want to expand my consciousness too. And I notice that in the first lesson, it's very, very basic. So nobody needs to be scared of this. I just want to encourage people. It's, you know, you don't have to learn how to get ahead of the time wave in your first lesson. So the first lesson is the realization that the energy that you can redirect energy in your body. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. excuse me. Basically, what the physical reality is in the sum totality is a fixed vibrational interpretation. And what that is five senses: sight, sound, taste, touch, smell. And they take place in a very fixed range. So a sight is the rainbow spectrum, and anything that's above or below that, we say that's not light, and so we don't interpret it as being light. Sound is 20 to 20,000 hertz. If it's above or below that, our consciousness says
you don't hear
not
it.
Right. And touch
the
has a range. Yeah, exactly. They're on a different range because they're in a different crystal focusing mechanism.
Right.
So what happens is our soul is infinite and it spans all vibrations. It's everything simultaneously. The true depths of our soul, to use your terms, is the Holy Spirit. I mean, we literally all have one soul that we share with many different fragmented parts so that we can have the experience of individuality, so that, I don't want to go too deep into that, but the primary purpose of the creation is so that God is not all alone. But anyhow, to get past that, when we put this...
We're an individual expression.
Right.
Of the whole, right?
Yep.
Like we're
a
wave in the ocean.
Yeah, you can look at it like that. I like what what would you call it? Philosopher Rumi said.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're not a drop of water in the ocean, you're the whole ocean in a single drop.
Yes, I like it that too.
Yeah, that was a good one. But so basically you take that portion of your infinite beingness and you fuse it with the body when you're born. So this infinite spectrum of consciousness and vibration gets fused inseparably into the neuron structure of the head and the nerve fiber structure of the body. And upon fusing of this, nothing exists except what comes through the five senses, because that's the pattern that the brain, you know, holds. So what we teach in this lesson is how to take your awareness and put more of it in your hands, because you have a large degree of energy that's being dedicated at all times to forming your body, and that's your own personal energy that you can use whenever you want, and awareness is what causes it to focus or coagulate. So you just become more aware of your hands than any other part of your body, and just by doing that, that puts your electromagnetic soul presence, even though you might not be aware of that yet, into the hands, which causes an expansion. It causes the blood vessels to increase in size, which causes more blood flow into the hands, which causes more energy. And what I teach people is to take note of the subtle sensations and don't think digitally. You know, we're in an on and off consciousness, like that's either real or not real. This is either energy or matter, on or off, black or white, so on and so forth. But it's really analog, so there's no point, there's no singular point at which physical expression stops and spiritual expression starts. They're perfectly interwoven.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you can feel just heat in your hands, you need to congratulate yourself and say,
yeah,
I'm feeling energy. You know, mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? And,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll notice that if you accept that in your logical mind as being legitimate feedback, legitimate data, then you can even amplify that. And next thing you know, you're feeling more heat. And if you accept that and go deeper into it, next thing you know, that heat gets replaced by a slight electrical tingling feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And if you accept that and go deeper into it, what you're doing is you're eliminating barriers of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pure spiritual energy flows with no resistance whatsoever. When there's resistance, that's when energy comes into, you know, the physical spectrum so that it can manifest. That's, you know, how it becomes physical. So heat is a product of resistance, and the electricity is a product of resistance too. So if you open up even more, once you feel that electrical tingly feeling, and everybody's felt that at
yeah.
some point through their life, when you're watching a movie and you get the chills down your spine, or
mm-hmm.
you listen to a powerful song and all the hairs stand up on your arms,
mm-hmm.
We do the same thing, except we do it on purpose. So
mm-hmm.
It usually takes about 2 weeks to a month to get past the hot and cold sensations and get into the electrical tingling all over your body. You know, and the exercise is caressing your whole body with your hands like an inch or two away. And within 2 weeks to a month, the person gets to where they can feel electrical or static feeling all over them. Within 2 to 4 months, the goal is to drop the resistance even further to where you feel a smooth electromagnetic flux that is consciousness. So it redefines your definition of what mind is, because all of a sudden mind is present in the whole body and out of the body, like a field of awareness that you're connected to, that's connected to the breath and connected to the heartbeat. So right now we can only feel inside of our bodies because we got to use the nerve fibers as a channel to have feedback to the brain. What happens when one begins to expand in this way is that their nerve fibers grow in size from doing the focus exercises, for the same reason as muscles build when you lift weights. And eventually the strength of your electromagnetic field gets strong enough to where your consciousness can sense it. And once that happens, your mind expands out past the nerve fibers and begins to feel the surrounding energy field as being a part of the self. And it's actually got connecting nerve fibers, spiritual nerve fibers, interwoven through the whole thing. So it's like your mind that was once stuck in your head becomes present through the whole body, and then expands past that and starts to become present out into the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then that's when you can know that you know that you know. I mean, you walk in knowingness.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You just walk knowing. And
right.
Jesus showed us, he did that. You know, he could read the intents of the heart. And, I mean, he knew all things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that he walked within that total
yeah,
realm of mind? And
he was fully connected,
mm-hmm.
obviously trained completely in the arts of energy mastery, though
yeah.
it surely had a different spin on it for the time that it took place, and he was completely unified with the central father consciousness that's in all of us.
Exactly.
So he was totally in tune with the divine plan, which means, you know, the plan that we all set up before we began this. And when you're in tune with that plan, you become a very powerful miracle worker, because what you do is for the betterment of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just know when to do it and when not to do it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you speak the word. Speak the word.
Mm-hmm.
He could even speak the word long distance. I mean, we don't have to be in the, you know, in the actual presence, because we're connected. All we're all one. The whole thing is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we go out. How far have you gone? I mean, we can go out to the galaxy, into the solar system, out into the universe.
Oh yeah, yeah. been to so many worlds, I can't even count them.
Yeah, we're not, we become unlimited. But just, you know, I'm just this very practical, kind of simple person that just, you know, I want to know, you know, how it's going to help me today. You know, how can I be empowered in my own personal situation and live in health and have abundance and have loving mm-hmm. relationships. And that's where, even if you just start the simplest of the lessons, it will amplify out into all that those areas of our lives, don't you believe?
Oh, yeah, that's a natural side effect.
That's the purpose, right?
Yeah, I would have to split it between the power and the ability to make the events in your life better, but I would have to say that the major fruit in all of this is simply the connection, because as humans, we chase feelings. I mean, that's the whole purpose of living, is to feel more. But without understanding the properties of soul and energy and mind, the human consciousness is walking around seeking events to make them feel good. They seek the next promotion, the next relationship, the next chemical intoxication. I mean, you name it. The whole consciousness is always seeking amplified feelings. Mm-hmm. But to an energy master, these things are available right now and at any time. Like my breath is completely connected with the electromagnetic spectrum. So breath to me is more than air going in and out of the nose. It's energies crisscrossing from 360 degrees in and out of my body. My heartbeat is fully connected to my consciousness, so it's like woom, woom. With every pulse, my whole consciousness goes in and out of my body in a thick wave and overlaps with my breath. So just by having breath and heartbeat, I have a realm of feelings open to me that a person typically would never even experience on the best drugs. And that's just mm-hmm. breath and heartbeat. Now let's talk about sunshine. I don't feel sunshine just where it hits my skin. I'm opened up in the electromagnetic spectrum, so the sunlight shines through me. I can feel it in every cell of my body. Not only that, but my mind is unified with the air, so I can actually feel the sunlight streaming through the air as a part of myself. If the wind blows, I don't just feel it where it hits my skin. I feel the whole electromagnetic webbing of that energy we call air moving around me and in me and through me, and it's delightful. If a bird sings, I feel them singing inside of my being, not just singing out there on the branch. Mm-hmm. If I want to merge with a tree, if I see a tree that's beautiful, I can place my hand on it and merge with it, and it becomes another body of mine. Like, my consciousness can literally come out of my hand into the tree, grow up down the roots, up the tree, feel the sunlight at that point touching my leaves and feeling the water coming up my roots. And yet still I know myself as being a human at the same time. It's like I become both the human and the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you're able to turn every single moment of your daily life into a very deep and rich spiritual experience. So you're, at that point, you just don't need as much. I'm not saying that the typical personal or worldly desires fade altogether, because that's a very extremist, you know, way of looking at things, but you've got, you're anchored in the true fruits of life, fresh water, fresh air, sunshine, nature, breath, heartbeat, clouds, sky, stars, mm-hmm. you know, all the original pattern, the first thought of God.
Mm-hmm.
And believe
yeah.
me, they're the best thoughts.
The real
the best
thing.
Ones to experience.
Yeah.
Everything we've built, it's pretty cool, but it,
yep.
Nothing we've built compares to feeling all of those stars up in the sky in your head. You know?
I actually had that experience you talked about one time about the star, dancing with the star.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that just this last week while I was at the pool. I went over at about 9 o'clock and did some laps, and I was just kind of laying on my back in the water, and boy, this one star just that's why I felt the connection, you know. And then it just started dancing all around, and I know you had talked about that, and I thought, oh, that's what Michael talked about, and I got to see it. And then the other one, another one that I thought, well, I wonder what that one will do, and then that was the one that did the twinkling. You talked about that, too. And it just did red and blue and green and then bright, bright, bright light. And then, like, it faded out all together and then went bright, 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 bright. So it was just fabulous.
Isn't it amazing? It's like you find their location inside of you and you send it love. You realize it's a part of yourself. And you can just say to it, you don't have to stay there for me anymore. You can do whatever you want. So I've had them turn into a UFO where people around me, what is that? Is that a UFO? And I'm like, well, just a little bit ago it was a star. it's real tough for people to hear that are stuck in the god-awful scientific paradigm and all the terrible things they've discovered by looking out of their telescopes, not understanding that the eyes form physical reality first. You know, so it's painted this picture for us that we're on this tiny little rock floating in a happenstance universe, and that our planet exists just by some miraculous grace, because at any given time an asteroid could slam us, or a quasar could suck us in, or a solar flare could, you know, but that, none of that's true. What we are is a chunk of physical reality. What you see is what you get. The naked eye tells the truth a lot, more than those telescopes. The sun goes around the Earth. Anybody with eyes can see that. The stars also go around the Earth. Anybody with eyes can see that. We're the center point, the focal point of the whole physical consciousness. Now, I know, granted, we can look out the telescopes and get a completely different story, but before we do that, we must first understand the mechanisms of how we form physical reality from the inside out using the five senses, or we get lost, which is pretty much where we're at now. We've stepped out of the Garden of Eden, and in the Garden of Eden, this was common knowledge. This is what we knew. We knew we were the world that we were standing on. We were one with all things, and in complete grace and magnificence of being. As an experiment in consciousness, to this day, I have no idea why we would even want to consider it, but it was, what would it be like to be in a world and not be the world? That was the experiment, right? So, you know, you can imagine if the consciousness is always used to being the creation that it's in, it might sound rather miraculous to not be the creation, you know, to be totally separated from it and in it. And I'll give my official take. I think it sucks. And I'm coming right back the other way and take it as many people as want to come. You know, when you connect fully ahead of the time stream and you become all the nature around you and all the creation, you're just in this state of pure empowerment where there's no threat to you because you are your experience. So nothing can harm you but yourself. And then there's awe and reverence for everything sourcing out of you. You know, like, it's nearly
impossible. I think people have to have some work done in them too, where they get they deal with their, I think they have to deal with their baggage and deal with their victimhood, their powerlessness, and that's why I think just starting, like taking, you know, just the first class would begin to have them have a personal experience. You know, you can't argue with a personal experience. You just can't argue with it. You can you can talk theories and principles and concepts and this and that, but when you actually experience something and you feel it, like you say, you feel it,
right.
Well, you know, then nobody's going to talk you out of it.
Right.
No, you know, they can't talk you out of it. It's an actual experience. So I just would encourage anyone that would like to begin to expand their consciousness and to have just a some small sense of the power of this electromagnetic energy field that we are, and then go from there. It's all step by step, little by little. You didn't get ahead of the time curve, overnight. You've been walking this a long time, and you start out. We all start out as little babies, just taking teeny tiny little steps. And so, I would like to encourage all my listeners to consider just taking one step. You know, the thing is, we don't need to be afraid of anything. I mean, there's been a whole, I come out of the Judeo-Christian church, and so they were always warning us, to be alert on the wolves in sheep's clothing and people that were going to steal our faith or, cause us to go down the wrong path and this and that. Well, you can't get on the wrong path. There is no wrong path.
Yeah.
There's a path, period.
Right.
And it doesn't, I started out when I left the church, I did everything. I tried everything. I looked into everything. And it wasn't an idle curiosity kind of thing. It was I want to know. I want to know that I know that I know. And I wanted to experience. And, nothing was injurious, nothing was hurtful. I found truth and value in everything that I tried and everything that I did. And so I would just encourage people that, just don't be afraid. Just say, well, you know what, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to take this class. And I'm going to try some of this stuff myself. Because, you can just go off in your own private little room. You can do it. You don't have to tell anybody. And try. What do you think? Don't you think, Michael?
Absolutely.
Give it a try. Find out.
Seven different primary lessons that we have in the Awakening Course, and everybody's going to have success with one or two of them, and it's going to blow your mind. It's baby
steps.
Don't
you think it'll be an excitement? It'll cause an excitement. It's like the first time that it really happens. You try it, and it happens. It's like, oh my God!
It's like, wow!
This really works.
I can't believe I'm experiencing this.
I really have this power. Oh my God! I really do.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful realization.
It doesn't ever stop. I'm still growing tremendously.
Yeah.
And,
well, there's
and
no,
the,
there's
the
no
journey
end.
Is the ride.
Yeah, there's no beginning, no end. So.
Yeah, no reason to be intimidated that others are ahead of you, because the journey is the great part. It's the feelings you get from connecting to all that you are and realizing the fullness of your being and just being blown away day after day.
I know. Yeah, I agree with that. So the best way to go to find you then is, you think the website?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
AvatarEnergyMaster.com.
Okay.
And we offer a 7-day free trial to the course.
It's so reasonable. I mean, it doesn't cost hardly anything.
$29 a month if you choose to stay with us after the 7-day free trial. And we got video demonstrations, so you can see that we're not just asking you to believe that we're connected in this way. We've got demonstrations where we cause the wind to change directions, make clouds disappear in the sky, move objects inside sealed container, and blah, blah, blah. Like I said, the powers aren't the true fruit in this. The fruit is the connection. Like, we experience this world in ways undreamed of. Like everything I said before about breath, heartbeat, water, sunshine, air, birds, trees, stars, clouds, That's the miracle in all of this. The way you can amplify your sensitivity and connection to all things is just, breathtaking. But it's broken into seven primary lessons, and you're going to have success with one or two of them. Everybody does. And then you keep working on the areas that you have success with, and that opens up for you to have success in other areas, because it's all based on the same type of principles of moving the mind past the five senses and into the electromagnetic spectrum and into unity with all things. And the really cool part of what we teach in there too is how to begin waking up in the spirit world, so that when you go to sleep, you're not just experiencing darkness or meaningless chaotic dreams, but you'll actually begin to wake up inside of them, and you'll be dreaming, yet you're fully awake, and you'll realize that interdimensionally there's all these other worlds taking place, and you'll
have
direct access to.
Yeah, I've had
yeah.
lucid dreams. Not very many, but I have done that, where I've known that I've known I was dreaming, but I knew I was also, I mean, I was awake in the dream. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. Like, after you've done the course about 6 months to a year, you're going to be doing that 5 to 10 times every single night. And then once you wake up inside of spirit world, you can go anywhere from there. You can just, a favorite thing I like to do is levitate up in the air, surrender my energies to the Holy Spirit or God within or higher self, whatever you want to call it, and say, take me where I need to go. And all of a sudden this invisible force that's inside of you and outside of you, that's the whole thing, just will grab you and just whoosh, whoosh through the stars and place you in another world, or place you inside the dream of your father, if that needs healing. Like, that's one thing it did for me. I haven't seen my father in like 12 years because he had abandoned us. And God within just planted me right inside of his dream. And I said, hey, Dad, did you know that we're actually awake inside of a dream? He's like, what are you talking about? And I said, watch. And I grabbed his hand and levitated him up in the air, and he was all astonished. And, you know, I got to, like, hang out with him, talk, and heal some things, you know, and it felt really great. And then you pay attention to what God within is doing to get you to these other places,
mm-hmm.
other dimensions, and you figure it out for yourself. And then you're able to, you know, navigate and explore. And, you know, there's rich things to do, just like here. There's food, water. You know, everything that's here is in different degrees in all these other places, and you can actually affect healing on your body from there, because you're aware that you're sleeping in the bed at the same time, you're aware of both bodies. Like, in recent experiences, I would be talking to other individuals while I'm out of my body, and if my physical mouth got too dry, I wouldn't be able to talk in spirit either, because the two are connected. So I would, in the spirit world, I reach for some water to drink to try and quench it, and it just wouldn't quench because my physical body was still parched. And then I remembered what I teach you guys in the course about sensitivity and in the Ascension Diet, where I teach you how to consciously drink water. And I did that from the spirit body, and I kid you not, my physical mouth moistened with real water. Like, I actually transferred water from the spirit world to the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a...
I think we would learn where we could just manifest as we go. If we needed something to eat, you know, it just could manifest mm-hmm. it in our hand. And if we needed a drink of water, we just could manifest a cup of water. And if we needed to pay for something, you just manifest the money to pay it. And I have worked with the weather, because I'm at the beach and I can't have anything cause problems for my brides. So we don't have rain in California for 9 months, so I don't have to worry about rain. But we can have overcast and we can have fog. And so I'll just say, no, I'll see it, you know, out there on the ocean. It's going to start to come in. And I'll say, no, you know, you've got to stay out there. And I'll tell it how long. I'll say, I'll be done here by 7 o'clock. And then if you want to come in, you can. And it works. It works. And we had a rain in the winter. We were going to... we had a wedding in the gazebo, and you could see the rain out on the ocean, and we were going to do a little small reception with coffee and cake and up, and we were going to do it outside. And my helper that day has done a lot of sailing, and he said, that storm's going to be here in 12 minutes. And I said, no, it's not. So I just went and had a little talk with the storm, and I said that, you know, you just can't come in yet because we're going to do this coffee and cake thing, and then it'll be done by a certain amount of time. And another thing that I believe that I do, and of course I get kidded a lot about this by, you know, the people that work for me, because especially this one photographer, he's such a bah humbug person anyway. But there's a rock just offshore, and it's where all the pelicans sit. It's called Pelican Rock. Well, I get a flyover at every single one of my weddings. Every single one. Now, that can't be just because pelicans naturally do flyovers. They have to know that I'm there, and I call for them. I'll say, okay, you know, we'll be done here by 11:30, and we need the flyover. And I get one every time, Michael. Beautiful flyovers. You know, they fly over in that beautiful V. And I get every one of my weddings at the beach has a flyover.
Wow.
It's my contract with them. So little, you know, I have little experiences. I'm hoping to, by doing this review and taking these classes, that I can expand out now into a greater dimension.
Oh, you sure will, because, you know, you've already had a good grip on
good
it.
Good start. I've had a good start, a lot better than most people. I've been so grateful, you know, for the beginning that I had. First of all, I was my grandmother and grandfather were Quaker ministers, and there's no patriarchal hierarchy, you know, in that denomination. The Quakers just gather together and sit around and wait for the Spirit of God to speak. And for them, you know, there was no male or female in the Spirit, and so the message could come through anyone. So there never was any idea that a woman couldn't also, you know, experience the power of God the same as a man. So that was my first beginning. And then to be raised, you know, with the, at 8 years old, having this dramatic activation of the Holy Spirit in my life with the evidence of speaking in tongues that's just been the foundation of my life. And of course, we were taught that with that activation came, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which were the gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, gifts of tongues, interpretation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. So, I mean, I always had that kind of teaching. But we're in a new time now, a time of a greater awareness of who we are and our power. And I think it's part of why there's so much of these Power Rangers and all these other all the movies being made today, you know, with the people with all the different kinds of powers. I think that's just helping to open up the minds of the mass mind consciousness into the fact that that's possible. And now the next step is for them to know that they can do it.
Yeah.
That's what an avatar is, right?
That's why
that's a wonderful
I called my school
word.
Avatar.
I love that. We are all avatars.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's the exact way that I see it. And you know, it's something in potential. You know, a person that doesn't understand energy yet or hasn't found all of this, you know, obviously they're not, but that's a potential in their soul pattern. That's like
mm-hmm.
the great gift that's just awaiting, you know, for everybody to open.
The present.
You know, and where you're so far ahead and why the course will go so quickly for you is you've got faith. You got faith in self and you've got faith in God, which is same thing. There's no point at which self stops and God begins. It's analog.
Mm-hmm.
It's a smooth flow in between the one consciousness that we all share. And so you've got faith in that on both levels, and you all of your guilt is gone. You feel
mm-hmm.
worthy to be
yes.
a focal point, an embodied essence of God. You're past the fear, you're past the guilt, and you have the faith. And those are the biggest steps, because the greater consciousness that we all share called God knows when a being is ready to receive tremendous things, because in all of this stuff, it's preservation of the psyche that's most important. Physical harm, that's not real. You know, that goes away. If you get harmed to death by physical harm and you end up dying, it's no big deal. But if you go insane, like if you see too much of every single thing too quick, spiritual insanity is a real thing. And then in the light realms, you have to be healed and whatnot. So, but there is a guiding force, you know, that watches over all of that and,
yes.
you know, helps make sure
That's
that
right.
you don't have too many switches turned on all at once, which is why, you know, I throw down all these notions of ascension dates. Like, on this date, we're going to be every single thing we were too lazy to provide for ourselves.
I don't go with any of that either. And I don't think there's any big mothership that's going to come and escape us out of everything either. I think we're going to stay right here and learn to know who we are and to operate in the fullness. It says Jesus operated in the fullness, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ, and that's available to all of us. Okay, so we're coming up here on less than 20 seconds. And I just want to thank you so much, Michael, for coming on the show and helping
My
to
pleasure.
Expand our consciousness here. And that I just encourage everyone to think about going to this school, come in and help do the lessons with me. And so for now, I'm going to say... see if I can get my music going here. I'm a one-man band here. And thank you again, Michael, and I hope you'll come on and talk with us soon.
So the time is upon us to begin to know our worthiness, to know who we are, to know ourselves in authenticity. And so again this week, I want to help you to have the experience of speaking in tongues, so that you will know that you know that you know that you are a true son of God, ready to take your position in the church, which is the whole world, and to bring about a global consciousness that only wants the highest and best good for everyone. If you like, that speaking in tongues provides the code. That code you need to unlock the power. And that allows our mind to be one with the mind of God. And then we receive all wisdom and knowledge to live our lives in peaceful relationships, in abundance and perfect health, here and now, heaven on earth. You can know what to do because you will know that your God self is there inside of you, and that you can receive anything that you need. We will no longer be looking outside of ourselves for any solutions or for answers to any of our questions, because all truth is within us, and it is easily accessed through the speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. I have a wonderful CD by Israel, and I'm probably not going to say this right, Kama Ka I, We O We Wo Ole. Pretty much everybody knows Israel. He's the one that sings the Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And so this is another song that's on that CD, and he is singing in Hawaiian. And it's sort of a song of lament. And it sounds to me like God calling for his sons. Where are my sons? Where are my sons? The earth groans and travails for the manifestation of the sons of God. Where are my sons? You are God's son. God desires for you to be manifested as the Son of God, with all the powers that Jesus had. Jesus came here to show us what a Son of God does. And God is crying out for his sons. So as I play this song for you now, while Israel speaks in Hawaiian, which is a very tonal language, it actually is the sounds of the A, E, I, O, U, the primordial sounds of creation. And you just begin to speak in your own pure spiritual God language. Just begin to speak. Don't speak your native language. Don't speak English or whatever your regular language is. Just use your lips and your tongue and your voice and just begin to speak now. Have that validation. Have that knowing.
Thank you.
And now this is Marcianne saying aloha. And in the Hawaiian language, aloha is hello, goodbye, and I love you.